Leading Edge Parenting is another fine show brought to you through Law of Attraction Radio Network. Are you ready to find your true parenting power? Join us as we expand our understanding of creating outrageous joy and experience life with our most precious assets, our children, all through the Leading Edge Parenting Show with Sandy Swartz.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's Leading Edge Parenting Show. It is my honor, my privilege, and my joy to welcome you for the last time to the Leading Edge Parenting Radio Show. I've made the decision to take all that I've learned and all that you have energetically given to me in these past couple of years and to move on. It is time to finish my book, which I'm happy to say is almost done. It is called Finding Your Parenting Power. I am hoping that it will be done and in a few months ready for you. It is my opportunity to share with you what I've learned about children and parents, who we are as human creatures, as souls who have come here to experience this form called life on planet Earth. And so I've decided to devote myself to finishing the book, to getting it out there to everybody, and then to launch some new programs where I can actually meet some of you in person. I'm hoping that for 2013 we are going to be doing some parenting conferences, and I'm also going to be doing some speaking tours around the United States, and I will be posting all of this exciting information on my website, leadingedgeparenting.com and sandyteaches.com. So I hope you will stay with me, that we'll stay connected in many, many ways, because we've only just begun to make a difference together in the way we understand the adults' relationship with the children who are coming forth, and the children who've been here for a while, and the adult children who are having their own kids. This is an amazing time in the history of humanity. We are really in a fabulous shifting vortex of energy, and together these past couple of years we have been making quite a difference in just lifting our consciousness. And I know that many of you have been with me on this program for a long time, and I can feel you. I can feel your hearts. I can feel your souls. I can feel how you are shifting in your own lives as parents. Me too, even though my children are adults now. You never stop being a parent, and the parent relationship is always an evolving bundle of energy. So I'm really very thrilled to have our last show's topic be about peaceful parenting, because all of us are hoping for a world that is more peaceful. And I truly believe that we can contribute to the peace of this planet, but it starts within ourselves. And if we can't have peace in our own home, it's really hard to put out peaceful energy to the planet. And so I bring this last show to you with the deepest prayer for peace on our physical planet, peace in our hearts, and peace deep within our spirits. And today we're going to be talking about creating peace in our parenting. So here's what we're going to do. As always, we'll take a short commercial break. We can use some short commercial breaks during the day, the commercial actually just being one for peace and sanity. Take a short commercial break by taking some nice deep breaths, remembering that we're only here on planet Earth in this form for really a very short amount of time, that our souls have come here to help us expand and do this work of being human, and that we're all related and in this time-space reality together. So after a short commercial break, I will be back with today's guest, who is going to be helping us take a look at this question: how can we bring more peace to our parenting? Hold on, everybody, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Here's an update on our cruise of a lifetime to Mayan country. Royal Caribbean Cruise Line will not be raising the rates for the time being. And we have a special announcement that Lee Harris will actually be singing on the cruise. So not only do we have Law of Attraction coach Constance Arnold, astrologer Jean Wiley, channel psychic Lee Harris, we are also introducing holistic coach Enzo Giovanni to you as well. Plus, we may be tossing in a special hypnosis session on releasing the fears that block you from reaching the stars. So sign up today by going to lawofattractioncruise.com. That's lawofattractioncruise.com.
And welcome back, everyone. It is my pleasure to let you know a little bit about this week's guest. Marcy Axness, PhD, teaches prenatal development and provides training for education, childcare, adoption, and mental health professionals. Marcy is a member of Mothering Magazine's online expert panel. She has won multiple awards and an Emmy nomination as a documentary writer, producer, and she is a popular international speaker. Marcy counsels parents and pre-parents in her private practice. And I want to say that she is the author of an amazing new book called Parenting for Peace. I have been reading through this book and have been saying out loud and in my mind, yes, 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 as I'm reading through this. Marcy has touched on so many incredible, important nuggets of wisdom that I think every parent and expectant parent should treat themselves to read, because truly what we can learn from this book is not only a gift to ourselves and to our children, but to the future peace of our world. And so it is my honor and joy to welcome to our show today the author of Parenting for Peace, Marcy Axness. Hi, Marcy.
Hi there, Sandy, and thank you for having me on. And what an honor it is to be here to close out your last show.
Well,
yeah,
it is. It's huge in many ways, Marcy. And I was thinking that your book says so much. It just brings together so many of the messages that I have hoped to bring across in the 4 years of my shows. And when we wrap it up into a nugget, our children are the future leaders and livers of our planet. And if we don't live in peace in our own hearts, in our own families, in our own little communities, then how are we going to bring peace to this world? So I thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, well, I'm so happy to be here. And I want to let people know right at the top that, you know, this isn't sort of a kumbaya Hallmark card of a book, you know, that this is really about the idea, if we want to change the world, we need to raise a generation who are hardwired for peace. And this, so this is really about brain development in a big way. How do we raise children who grow up into people who have the brain-based capacities that a peacemaker must have, like self-regulation, trust, empathy, imagination, mental, intellectual, and emotional flexibility? These are the kinds of qualities that this book is really aimed at fostering.
And so important, because we are so caught up in a web of, I call it, insanity in our schools, and you do touch on this beautifully in the book, where it's as if just getting a score on a test is the be-all and the end-all of our entire raising children. And what you're saying here is, wait a minute, you know, there's so much deeper stuff going on in the way parents and a society raises children.
Yeah, and it's a big win-win. Because, you know, yes, we all want a peaceful world and everything, but I'm also very aware that parents are at home going, I want some peace right now in my home. And here's the thing, a child who wires up brain circuitry in this way is a joy to parent. It's a joy for the family. So it's a big win-win.
So let's begin and see, you know, what you can bring forth for our audience today to help people. Let's begin with just peace in their family. So if you would say there's one thing people need to know to bring more peace into their lives and their children's lives and their home lives, what would that be?
Well, here's something that pretty much in every talk I do, I try to get this in, and I tell people, if there's one thing that you remember today and take away, this should be it, because it informs every moment of your existence. And I call it the mainspring of the book. It really drives the book and the approach. And here it is, and it's straight out of cell biology. At every level and at every stage of our life, right down to our cells, we're either in growth mode or we're in protection mode. So it starts at our cell, up to our organs. This applies to an individual. This can apply to a group of individuals, like a family or a community, a nation or a race. This applies to everyone. We're either in growth mode or protection mode. And so the fundamental question that's always being asked, starting at the cell and going right up through races of people, is this: are conditions safe and secure so that I can grow into my fullest potential, or are conditions threatening and insecure so that I have to protect, I have to limit my potential, and I have to expend my energy to defend myself?
Well, that is huge. And so let's talk about that for a minute, so that, you know, if this, for some people, this, they're saying, yeah. And for other people, they're saying, huh? So,
what? Yeah.
Yeah, huh? So,
yeah, so let's come at it a different way.
Yeah.
If we detect any level of threat, and it can be a very overt threat, or it can be very subtle, let's say like a test in school, let's say like a threatening look from a parent, our fight or flight hormones kick in. Okay, this is pure survival. This is pure evolution. We wouldn't be here if this mechanism didn't exist. We are built to survive first and foremost. And what this book is about is how can we understand how we can most optimally thrive instead of just survive, right? And so what I offer to people as one of the primary tools that I give out in my toolkit is, always ask this question as a parent. We'll start as a parent. Any human can ask this question. Is this comment I'm about to make to my child, is this demand or this instruction or this quote-unquote discipline or punishment, is this going to foster growth mode or protection mode in my child and in myself? And this is a question that can be used for making any decision in our lives, either as parents, as just humans.
Yeah, so if we just think about our relationships with other adults, let's say, and someone's hurt us or something's concerning us, and we move into some kind of communication, the words and the energy, for me, it's also energy, not only just the words, because you could...
We'll get to that. It's really about the energy.
Yeah. Is what I'm expressing now, what I'm giving forth, is this making this person feel safe enough with me that we're really going to work on this in a way that is going to get someplace good? Or is this going to close the person down or shut the person down or make the person feel, oh, I'm going to have to protect myself from this conversation?
Exactly.
Right?
And, and so that's where you get about, you know, stick with I messages, you know, come from the heart. I mean, this is at the basis of all, mindful forms of communication. This is what's so beautiful about, for example, Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication. But yeah, that's it.
So when I think about, and let's go to this question then, Marcy, when I think about what goes on in so many homes with loving parents who really only want the best for their children, but once they start toddling, once they, you know, get on their 2 feet and they're doing their exploration and they're dumping things and they're climbing and they're getting into quote trouble, parents don't know how to create this safe space. They start yelling. They start giving out angry energy. What's a parent to do? How does a parent handle the challenges of parenting and still create conditions that are safe and secure so the child doesn't have to go into that fight or flight way of being?
Well, you know, that's a big one. And, a big part of the book is devoted to sort of walking through. In fact, the book is based on 7 principles. And each one of those principles is dedicated and designed to cultivating, first and foremost, the atmosphere and energy within the parent so that they can, in fact, foster that kind of atmosphere. And let me just say right now, before we get too deep into this is not about perfection. This is not about doing anything perfectly. We are humans. We mess up. This is about striving, not perfection.
Oh, Marcy, thank you for saying that, because just this week I had a conversation with my adult son who pointed out that I wasn't living 100% of what I preach.
Oh my gosh, you're human?
And I said to him, oh my goodness, okay, 92% most days, that's pretty good. And then I dip down into like a 20 every now and then. And I had to laugh. Because we are human, so this is about just being aware that this is what we're hoping, we're working towards, knowing that because we're human, we're not going to live in it like this all the time. Yeah.
Let me give you a few real practical tools, okay? That I'm going to be deploying. Actually, I just spoke at the California Women's Conference together with Sarah Rippard, who I know you had on the show recently.
Yes.
Yeah, and we did a whole thing on supermom, you know, going from supermom, with quotes around it, by the way, to sane and centered mom. And it really is about that. How do we, in the midst of our overwhelm, how do we find that centered spot? How do we go from, you know, supermom to sane and centered? And so I gave people 3 tools. First of all, we talked about why we're in this mess, and that might be helpful. Sarah felt it was very helpful. You know, we are humans. We're meaning-making creatures. It helps us to understand why something's happening before, you know, in order for us to actually do something about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because a lot of times we get down on ourselves because we can't make meaning out of the struggle that we're in.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what I threw out to everybody, and it seemed to help. I call it the big 3, okay? Too much information, too many choices, and too little confidence. And we talked a little bit about each of those things, but too much, you know, we're bombarded. It's the information age. do you know that there's some amazing statistic out now that we create more information in the world in 48 hours than was created throughout human history up until 2003?
Is that why we're all so overwhelmed with it all?
But that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. Because we, you know, and one of the things that we need to do is to kind of create more semi-permeable membrane, you know, so that it isn't all coming in. You know, we have to create sort of this, you know, respectful boundary of how much information will I let permeate my membrane.
Yeah, yeah.
And then too many choices, you know. I mean, God bless those women who paved the way for us to have so many choices, right? But, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know, and the other edge is what I call choice paralysis. And it's this whole thing of can we have it all and how do we have it all? And, you know, it's that whole piece, right? And I actually discovered that the millennials, you know, the generation who are like in their 20s and early 30s, they actually have a term for it called FOMO, which is, you know, FOMO. You know, they have to have initials so that they can text it, right? Huh. And it stands for fear of missing out.
Mm.
So, you know, so that's the second big of the big three. And then the third, and really a big one that comes into play for parents, and I see this turning up in my, you know, in my consultation room all the time, and that is too little confidence. And so those three, you know, and you know, the messages out there in our culture are just rampant, sort of serving to undermine the confidence of mothers and fathers in the media. You know, often coming from our own families, our own culture, you know, you're not quite enough, but if you employ this system, if you buy this product, you know, if you dress your child in this label, maybe you'll have a chance at fulfilling your parental responsibilities.
So how does the modern parent, because we're part of the overload also,
right now,
with our books and our radio shows and the podcasts and everything.
Right.
How do we bring this all back into some basic wisdom that parents can hold on to?
Right. Well, here are the three tools that I gave out. First was had to do with what we just talked about. I actually, for this big event, I had made up a supply of these little, you know, these stress balls that you can squeeze and
yeah.
You can get things printed on. Well, I got these fabulous ones that are actually little cubes so that they can sit where you put them. And written on it was the most sweet, darling little drawing of a child. But when you look at it, you can't help but just lighten up and your stress chemicals shift right away, are the words, I choose growth. So it's, you know, the first tool is really kind of a mantra. I choose growth, which is shorthand for I choose growth over protection.
Yes.
And so it's a matter of, you know, first of all, doing what you're doing right now, which is informing yourself, understanding what the cost is, for example, of being hooked in 24/7 via your smartphone. We're starting to, research is starting to come down the pike a lot now about how this is actually rewiring our brains.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the research is saying, but
I can tell you if you're interested, I'm feeling it. The bottom line is it's rewiring the pleasure circuitry of our brains so that it makes it less possible, or it makes it harder for us to get joy from sort of the quote-unquote simple human pleasures, like just being with a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really raising the bar in an unnatural way, and we don't have any framework for understanding this yet, right? So
yeah.
Every time we get a little chirp, a little icon on our phone, a little notification, whatever it is, the chirp or the tweet, it squirts a little dopamine in our brain. And this is gradually and insidiously rewiring our brains. So coming back to what do? We make choices. We make informed choices based on that question. Is this going to create growth or protection for me? Maybe I need to leave my smartphone in the office overnight, you know, or at least the next room and not by my bed. Mm-hmm. I mean, you make these choices because your life depends on it. If you're talking about your fruitful, connected, mindful, sane, and centered life.
What I've noticed, Marcy, is that we've confused what connection is. Connection seems to now be how many tweets you get, how many people are following you on Twitter, or how many of those beeps that you feel like you're connected, rather than the deeper sense of connecting with purpose, of connecting, you know, at a deeper level with people. The connection is about how many of these little tweets are you getting, which is not a real connection.
I think we're in a period of infatuation. You know, the pendulum always with these things, I think, swings way off to one side, and then we go, we start to get it. And I think we're already starting to get it. I think that refractory period is getting shorter and shorter, and partly because of the information age, partly because I can see so easily all this research that's coming down. And, you know, and then I can turn it around and sort of interpret it for parents. And I think a large part of the population, or at least a significant part, is going to get it pretty quickly. And you can already see it. Who did I hear on The View the other day talking about how, I've had to step away from the smartphone, you know?
Right. Yeah. Somebody has to get out there and say it's okay to do that. So you said the first piece of advice you give is to say, choose
exactly.
Growth.
The first tool is that question. And I've had clients say to me, when everything else is melting down and I can't remember any of your other, you know, techniques or tips, that I can usually remember. Is this thing I'm about to say or do going to foster growth mode or protection mode in my child and myself? So that's really, that's a key tool. The next one is, and Malika Chopra so beautifully led us in a little meditation, which led right into me talking about this tool, and that is simply presence. Presence is the number one principle in my book, and this is why when I get young parents, or, you know, even ideally, people who haven't yet conceived or pregnant parents, that's one of the first things I get them doing is developing, cultivating a presence practice in their lives. This can be 10 minutes of meditation every morning. This can be, you know, 30 minutes of yoga, contemplative prayer, whatever it is for you, a mindfulness practice. Whatever it is for you that helps you bring your mind under your own mastery.
I love that. Bring your mind under your own mastery, because we are so inundated from outside of ourselves.
Meditation is more, you know, there's tons of research showing the benefits of meditation across all of our systems, from our, you know, heart and blood pressure, and, you know, it's just a win-win-win all around, right? But we need it now more than ever, just to sort of deflect and counteract, again, this information bombardment.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I meditated this morning before our call, Marcy, because I was feeling some angst. I was feeling feelings that I don't like, which stopped my growth, you know, which was really about my own protection of myself. And I didn't know how to get out of it, but I know that one way that always works for me is to get quiet and meditate and listen to the guidance from the stillness within me. And after 10 minutes just of doing that, I could feel the light shining back in my heart. And to use, you know, the way you speak about it, is I kind of was out of the protection mode, and I was back into the growing feeling. And so I've learned that just that getting stillness and that going within can really create miracles.
It absolutely can. And I know that, you know, for somebody who hadn't ever thought about it before, the connection might not be real clear. Like, well, how's this going to help my parenting? It is the, you know, I do a talk where I give my top five Big Bang parenting tools. You know, the one tool you can use that's going to impact in a positive way the largest swath of your parenting experience. And meditation is the granddaddy of them all. And here's a little secret bonus to meditation for parents. That is, it lets them answer yes to a very important question for parents. And that is this: do I have mastery over something as basic and fundamental as the flow of my own thoughts?
That's huge.
Because when you can answer yes to this question, the child wordlessly, you talked about energy, they're energetic creatures. That is what they pick up. One of the things I ask parents to do is cut back on the number of sheer words they say to their child by about 50%, because the children are picking up our wordless messages. They're picking up our energy. They feed on our consciousness. And a child wordlessly perceives your level of self-possession. And when you can answer yes to that question, what that does is it fosters a level of respect in them that is deep and really quite unwavering. And so a whole swath of discipline issues kind of just get swept off the table. You're not going to encounter them because they pick up on this fact that you are solid, you are centered, you know, you're that calm, loving authority they need.
So again, that's huge. Go back for a second to, do I have mastery over the flow of my own thoughts? Most of us, a lot of the time, are being ruled by our thoughts. Thinking that, well, there's nothing we can do about it. It's the way it is. And what I've learned is what you're saying, Marcy, and that is, if I do what I did today, which was get quiet, get still, my thoughts start to shift to a place where I feel so much more empowered and so much more loving. And then the thoughts start to change, and therefore my relations start to change.
Right, exactly. And this is one of the reasons, I mean, ultimately, I'd like, and you know, my colleagues, we all feel the same way. Ultimately, we'd like to not have any clients, because my goal with this book, with my teachings, with my classes, my seminars, my coaching, is to help them connect with their own inner intuitive wisdom as a parent, because we all have it. But my role on the way to that is to tell them, you know, as a quote-unquote expert, if you do this, if you commit to this meditation practice, you will see these kinds of benefits down the line. And I think that's one of the most important roles that experts can serve, which is to make a connection for you between two things that you would never necessarily get, you know, automatically. And so their trust in me telling them that might carry them over. You know, it might take you a month to see these benefits. It won't take you a month to see some benefits, but that sort of basic part about getting more control and getting more mastery, developing mastery over the flow of your thoughts, you know, it's kind of like when you start taking Prozac. It doesn't kick in right away. Prozac takes 6 weeks to work. So we are talking about a similar process, actually, as Prozac. It is about rewiring your brain. And so if their trust in me can tide them over that period, and they can say, okay, I'm doing this meditation because Dr. Marcy is assuring me that this is going to be one of the benefits, then that's, I feel that I've served my function.
So to get back to the practical twos, Marcy, so the first one is, you know, choosing growth is what I'm about to do, choosing growth. The second one is cultivating presence.
Exactly.
And the third one?
The third is related. We've actually sort of touched on it in a way, but is simply a mirror. And it's a mirror I really ask parents to get a hand mirror and take a Sharpie marker and write around across the top of it this question. And it's a heavy one, and it'll throw everyone back in their seats, and then we can talk about it, okay? You ready? Am I worthy of my child's unquestioning imitation?
Wow. Am I worthy of my child's unquestioning imitation? In other words, do I want my child to imitate what I set forth?
Exactly. Exactly. Because like it or not, aware of it or not, you are what your child is going to wire up to be. Pretty much. Maybe not today or maybe not tomorrow, but one day you'll go, oh my gosh, that's me. Oh my gosh. You know, it'll be like you're looking into a mirror.
And so many parents want their kids to do as I say, not as I do.
Well, you know, haven't we all done that? I mean,
sure.
How many times have we, you know, sort of in a very impatient way, in a very stressed way, said to our child, just relax.
Right.
Or yelled at them, quiet down. I mean, it's really, you know, we have to laugh at ourselves. You know, you have to have a sense of humor. Otherwise, you know, you might as well just check out now. But, it, you know, certainly for the young child, imitation is the absolute primary form of learning. Yeah, the words we say, you know, they can have a little effect, you know, somewhat, but it's really imitation. And I'll tell you who is really good with this and really understands this are Waldorf early education teachers, Waldorf kindergarten teachers. They take this so seriously. They know that the young child is taking in and going to imitate everything, every gesture, the way they speak. They are mindful to really articulate beautifully their language because they know that it is all being taken in very deeply. Rudolf Steiner, who developed Waldorf education, said the young child is really just a big eye taking everything in.
Yeah, I know. I taught kindergarten for many years, and I think that's where all of my excitement in this took place, was realizing how powerful I was in being the role model, that they did not learn from what we said. They learned from what we created and the energy and the way we handled things and the fun and the excitement and the love. And even when we were angry, what do we do with our anger? It wasn't about telling them what to do. It was about actually modeling it so then they could follow.
Yeah, yeah. That is it. Yeah, you get it. You got it. That's it.
So you know what that makes me want to ask you is...
And let me just, I just want to reiterate,
yeah.
This is not about perfection.
Right.
This is about striving. And actually, you know, this imitation piece goes right down to the brain level. Certainly in the early weeks and months and years, actually, the new field of interpersonal neurobiology has discovered in a very almost science fiction way that we do this mind meld with our children, and they are downloading our brain circuitry. Their social brain wires up to emulate ours. Okay? So that imitation is happening right at the neurodevelopmental level. But here's the thing. Striving, when we are striving, for example, striving in that presence practice that we're doing, which can include mindfulness. Mindfulness is a way to develop presence in your waking hours and your, you know, when you're doing things, not sitting on a meditation mat. When we are striving, that actually changes our brain too, so that that download that the children are getting is a healthier one. So, you know, perfection, you know, the idea of it being about striving and not perfection isn't just sort of a nice, you know, sentiment. It is neuroscience. It's brain science. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and children are learning that they too don't have to be perfect. That
yes.
that this is process. This is all about becoming, not reaching a pinnacle of something and then you're there. It's a continual thing.
Exactly.
So what I want to, I got a lot of things I want to ask you, Marcy.
Yeah.
Timeout. Timeout is a big issue these days. Parents have kind of traded in spanking for timeouts in many cases. But I mean, I, like you, believe that the way timeouts are being used really is not healthy and helpful. So would you talk a little bit about how to make timeouts really work in a healthy way?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, let me just, really kind of give them the bottom line of why it's not good, especially for a child under seven. It's what I call neurodevelopmentally contraindicated. When a child, let's say, is melting down, having a tantrum, they are completely dysregulated. They have they're out of gas. They can't regulate their own emotional feeling states. And so right when they need our physical presence, because that's what we help them do, the adult helps the child regulate his or her, internal states through our physical presence. This is part of that mind meld. They piggyback on our brain's ability to regulate. It's like science fiction. Right at that moment when they most need that, we're banishing them to their room or their naughty chair or their naughty rug or whatever it is we're using. So, instead of landing a blow to the bottom, it lands a blow to the brain and the psyche. And talk about protection mode. That is throwing them way into protection mode. And it also, really, the catastrophe here, besides that, is it's eroding the child's trust in the parent because the parent is punishing instead of parenting. And when the episode is all over, by the way, the memory trace that's etched in her social brain or his social brain is this: when I'm having trouble, I'm on my own.
Yeah,
and that's the exact opposite of the healthy interdependence that we want to foster.
And for me, what it says is the person who says they love me is not there when I really need them.
So that's where the trust gets eroded.
Yeah.
And that, when you start eroding trust, that's the catastrophe. Because I'll tell you what, when you really want that child to be coming to you and be, connected with you down in their teenage years, forget it. They will, you will say, he doesn't respect me. And you'll be right, because respect is founded on trust. So anyway, how can we do it in a healthy way?
Yeah, that's what parents are asking now. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. What a tantruming child, first of all, let me just spool back just a second. We need to start to reconceive our perceptions of quote-unquote misbehavior, right? So one of the ways we can do that is when you see a child who's having a tantrum, reframe it to recognize that you're seeing a child who's struggling. So instead of a tantruming child, it's a struggling child.
Right.
Not
a manipulating, because many parents believe, their thought is, this kid is manipulating me.
I just want to say, and in my classes, I actually show brain schematics, and I really, really break down brain development for them, and I make it very clear that a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, as much as it might seem like they are conniving to drive you crazy and manipulate you, they don't even have the brain equipment for it yet.
Right.
They just don't. So what a tantruming or a struggling child most needs is not time out, but time in. Time in your secure, steadying, soothing arms. This is what will keep her social brain developing in peacemaker mode, in growth mode. And no, it is not rewarding her for quote-unquote bad behavior. This is part of the paradigm we need to reframe. And another thing you can do that I mentioned in the book, and I get this straight from Larry Cohen, who wrote a book called Playful Parenting, which I cannot recommend highly enough.
He was a guest on our show.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. I would love to meet him. I'm telling you, if I had had his book when I had young kids, I'll tell you what, I would never have spanked my son. I spanked him one time. I think he was about 7. And, of course, I felt awful afterward. And I feel, you know, it was like that. That was a moment I will never get back. And there was something, a teeny something lost in that moment that I will never get back. You know, but again, it's not about perfection. It's about striving. And I went back and I told him that I apologized and I, you know, did some repair and all that. But anyway, so what Larry offers is, you know, just do a pattern interrupt. He does something called a family meeting where basically what you're doing is you're taking time out and you're using it more in the way that a sports team would, which is sort of where the term comes from in the first place. You know, when you're watching football, you know, you don't see them sending one player to the sideline for timeout. The whole team takes a timeout. So you kind of take a cue from that. Hey, you know, things aren't going well right now. Things, you know, neither of us is enjoying how things are going. Let's just take a timeout. And in Larry's family, it was a meeting on the couch where they would just all go sit on the couch. Well, that's a great pattern interrupt. By the time you're on the couch, a lot of that riled up, you know, protection mode is starting to abate already, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can create whatever it is that you want to do. You know, make it your own. Make it what works for you. But make sure it's in that growth mode. Make sure we're connecting. Keep your eye on the big picture. Don't get caught up, you know, what's that book, you know? Don't sweat the small stuff. Remember, the big picture is I want to keep this child in growth mode. And if that doesn't mean, you know, bending to their every will and whim and wish, in fact, just the opposite. If you do that, they will be in protection mode because they will sense that they don't have a strong, calm, confident leader before them. And that's another issue.
Can we go there for a minute, Marcy? Because I think that is so important. And that's really confusing then for parents is, okay, so you don't use timeout in a, like, get your act together and then come back kind of way. Mm-hmm. We're there for them when they're having the breakdown. Mm-hmm. So you write a piece in your book. You talk about child that we have this child-centered home philosophy in some cases here. But that's not really the way to go either. It's not all about what does a child need in every moment? Do I give up what I need to meet my right. child's needs? Yeah, and I think a lot of parents get really confused by these messages. Can you kind of talk about that?
Sure. In the book, I actually share a little clip from Jean Laidlaw, who wrote the famous book, The Continuum Concept, which is, you know, sort of a parenting Bible for a lot of people. But she wrote about how when she spent time with the Yacana, down in South America, what she realized was she didn't see the terrible twos. You know, she didn't see any tantrums or, you know, kids struggling to get their own way, you know, just all of this stuff that we in our culture call normal for 2 and 3 year olds, and, you know, no nagging, no disciplinary measures, all these boundaries they needed. She didn't see any of that. And what she came to realize was that the Yacana were not child centered as so many of our families are, you know, in our culture. When they're a baby, yes, the baby is in constant physical contact, you know, which is what the continuum concept was about. And they breastfed, you know, on the baby's cues. It was baby-led breastfeeding for sure. They would nuzzle their babies. They'd sing to their babies, you know, occasionally play a little game of peekaboo. But her big point here was that the great majority of the caretaker's time was spent paying attention to something else and not the baby. You know, and certainly in that culture, they had a lot of physical work to do all day, which is a much, actually facilitates this approach much more easily. And it really brings up a challenge for us in our information-based, computer-based culture. we're not doing a whole lot of physical things in our home anymore. You know, even in the 50s, it was easier doing the laundry, sweeping the floor, you know, all those things. These are wonderful activities for a child to be around and to be witnessing. But your attention is not always trained on the child. And, oh, what do we do next to keep him happy? Rudolf Steiner said, children should be constellations around the adults, not the other way around. And very often in our culture, it is the other way around. You've got these adults just with all eyes trained, or if not all eyes, attention trained on the child. And, you know, the child doesn't want that ultimately. They want to know that you, I mean, you know, if we kind of notch it up to looking at it from a spiritual perspective, you know, I believe our children choose us. I believe that. And they chose us. They looked in, saw what we were doing in our life, and were, you know, that turned them on. I want that person. And then they come, and suddenly we drop all that, and we're just focused on them. It's like, what? and so I realize this raises a really kind of a puzzling conundrum, because, and in fact, this is why I insisted that we add the term paradox to the index of the book, because there's so many pages in this book that really touch on paradox. Whereas on the one hand, principle number one is presence, and I'm asking parents to cultivate their ability to be really present, fully present. I mean, all presence is being completely here with your body, your mind, your emotions, everything here in this moment. And at the same time, I'm asking them to not have an unduly, like, overarching preoccupation with the child. Because children need to know that they're important and that they need our care and that we love them, but that the world does not revolve around them.
Yeah, and it's a real balancing act for parents how to make this happen. And Marcy, I wish we had more time, but what I'm going to really just suggest to everybody is your book. It explains it all. It does. It goes into detail, and I'm going to give you a minute to wrap up, but I just really do want to say to everybody that, because I'm the timekeeper here, we probably aren't going to solve this for everybody today, but I'm going to let you finish up what you think the balance is here, and then I also want to give you a moment to just tell people who are saying, I need more of this, I need to learn more of this, how they could get in touch with you or learn more about your work. So, yeah, go ahead.
Thank okay. you. Yeah, first of all, about the book, I just want to—I want to say that my recommendation when anybody gets the book is, it's a little daunting. It is a big book, and even though I call it a Cliff Notes, because I took dozens and dozens of books and I sort of extracted the gems from them and wove them together, so that's why I call it a Cliff Notes. But whoever saw a 400-page Cliff Notes? So people don't feel overwhelmed. I always suggest that they start by reading the introduction and the epilogue first, and then go to whatever step they're in right now, you know, whatever age their child is, whether they're pregnant, whether they've got a young child, go to that chapter and start there. This book really isn't meant to be read cover to cover. Ideally, it's meant to be a companion for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, that's the optimal goal. And then the other thing I want to say, kind of closing out in terms of a thought about the book and about the approach, this isn't about making children our projects. I want to be really clear about this. Our children want to be received and seen and enjoyed for who they are in the moment. But they also count on us to help them fully blossom. And there's another one of those paradoxes. And hands down, the field of interpersonal neurobiology has found that the most important variable for a child's developing social brain, which is what we're concerned with, the most important variable is how connected that child's parent is to their own inner life, to their own history as a child. So our project becomes ourselves. And, you know, again, so you can answer that question, am I worthy of my child's unquestioning imitation? So that you can answer that yes. And it might seem daunting, but, you know, that's the path. And that's what a lot of the book is about, is to foster that kind of self-mastery that's going to engender that respect and that confidence in your child, that they know they have a calm, confident leader. And I'm going to offer your listeners a gift that I offered the people who were at the California Women's Conference a couple days ago, and I'm going to put the offer back up for your listeners, and that is a free audio coaching session. It's my most popular coaching session, which is Calm Authority for Mothers, and it includes guided imagery. It's really about cultivating that inner calm and confidence and centeredness. And so if they go to my homepage, the offer will be right up there, and they can get a free download of it. And
what's your homepage, Marcy?
Yes, that would be important. It is easy to remember, parentingforpeace.com. And from there, they can link to my, you know, they can join the information overload there. They can link to my Twitter. They can link to my Facebook. They can, you know, they can connect up, and I look forward to being connected with all of them.
Marcy, thank you so much. Truly, I wish we had another hour because you have so much to offer us. But people will get connected with you. And
Sandy, I just wish you the best in your next chapter, and thank you again for honoring me with this last hour with you.
It's been delightful. And what I want to say to everyone is, this whole concept of parenting for peace, this is the world we want our kids to grow up in a world that's a little more peaceful, and that we feel our own inner peace, because many of us do feel turmoil. It's part of being human, but to understand our own connectedness to our own inner selves, and then how we bring that forth to the people we love the most, our family, and how we live in peace with each other when there's so many challenges. There's so many important things in this book, and I thank Marcy for bringing it forth for us today. So, my dear audience, we've been together for 4 years, and I, even though I am ending my radio show, I am not ending connecting with you. I am not ending my journey. I am finishing up my own book, which I hope will be out in the next couple of months, and coming through the country with some speaking tours. So I hope I get to meet you in person. And I wish you all, a beautiful journey, a beautiful life's journey for yourselves. Do those little meditations. Get connected to your inner wisdom. It all lies inside. It does. And then enjoy these little ones who have come forward into your life to reflect and to have this experience together. It has been my honor, it has been my privilege to come to you every week, and I energetically send my love to you around the world. Go forward in love, and hopefully someday we will meet up in person. For now, this is Sandy saying truly, 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 I have and continue to love you all. Bye-bye for now, everybody.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another great show of Leading Edge Parenting with Sandy Swartz. For more information, go to www.leadingedgeparenting.com.